Our discussion, kashrus issues. Okay, first we're going to a short idea of Moshe. He writes about people who, I don't know the correct term, repackage hechsherim. You have a kashrus, it's a very common thing, it's a very big problem. You have a kashrus organization, and they just basically recertify, oh, it has an OU. Oh, my, it has an OU? Okay, so we'll put on it some symbol that it's kosher, and we'll charge the customers more money for it. In other words, they just rely one kashrus organization, rubber stamps, another kashrus organization's work. They piggyback, and they put their symbol on it, and people are relying upon their symbol when they really have no connection, have no shaykhs, they did nothing to certify this product as being kosher. It's very, very common. Through this, every Hasidish Hechsher, every like small time Hechsher is relying upon all the major Hechsherim. Right. Everything that you buy today has at least 25 ingredients. You buy any candy you buy, anything you buy has 25 ingredients. So tell me, so who certified the 25 ingredients? Oh, the OU give 18 of them, and the Star K certify the other two. So we're going to put a Hasidish Hechsher on this product. This candy is kosher, because 18 of the ingredients were certified by the OU, and two ingredients were certified by the Star K, and our contribution is the production. So it's legit. That's 100% legit. So most people talk about situations where there is no production. The production was done under the authority or the supervision of the OU, and then just as a mishigas. People have this crazy thing where, oh, the OU is no good. It's not good enough for me. I'm a tzaddik. I want a different type of hechsher. So it's gnevus das. It's gnevus das. And not only is it gnevus das, he writes, so what happens is that it leads to an attitude of there's no real hechsher altogether.
Right.
Because once you take that attitude, oh, so that it's kosher, if you are not personally involved, when you buy a product, and there is a certificate, there is a stamp of approval, there is an understanding that the organization has actually done something. And if they have done absolutely nothing, it creates gnevus das, and it creates an attitude where you don't do anything. In the future, it's a slippery slope. In the future, they'll certify products that have no hechsher whatsoever. The ingredients are not even kosher. Things are, so Rav Moshe is very, very upset. He writes, there's a little paragraph over here, he's very upset about this attitude of just piggybacking or repackaging, rubber stamping other people's work. It's not ethical, and sometimes outright usur, gnevus das, and also the attitude that it creates in the kashrus industry is very dangerous.
Supermarkets repackage. When I worked for the state, they have to say if you repackage, you could say who supervises your repackaging.
Okay.
And you'll see it now in most of the room stores. They'll say repackaged under the supervision.
Repackaged under supervision is very important.
The big problem came with the meat and the chicken, because what do you call it? That's why Gourmet Glot, the old owner, was forced to sell by the bottom of the 5 pounds. They forced him to sell, because what he was doing, he was repackaging the chicken, and whatever chicken was the hottest ticket item, he would put. You know, he opened up four different brands of chicken. And if you need more Empire that week, you know, you see he's selling more Empire, so you put that Ashkocha Empire on the chicken.
Even though it's from someone else.
Even though it might have been Margaretin, or it might have been...
It's Mamish Gmit, that's Mamish Gezel.
That, so the bottom of the 5 towns forced him to sell the business, and he fought for a year.
Exactly what Moshe said.
And there was a lot, and this happened. And the VAT actually wanted the apples, and they made them.
The repackaging business is a very dangerous business. You go into a store, and it says, this is an OU chicken. How do you know it's OU? The OU didn't put a stamp on this chicken. It was a big box came in from the OU with tape and many, many seals, and they cut all the tape and they put it into their own little foam trays, and they put their own little sticker, and there the store is telling you that it's OU. The store didn't do nothing. They didn't pick up their finger.
So called plumber. You see, 20 years ago, what, every chicken had a plumber. So you knew.
You couldn't pair it out.
Well, one green got it too.
I asked the owner of Doggy. We had a long talk, and I asked him because he was making his tuna in an OU company. So I said, "Why is your tuna Doggy, and why do you present it as seemingly more kosher?" So he says they come in on a Sunday and they package the tuna in his own oil. I said, "Whose oil are you using?" He said, "Natola. They don't use the other brand." I said, "But Natola's under the OU. You wouldn't use Natola if it wasn't under the OU anyhow, and that was the only difference. So Duggan tuna fish is no better than an OU tuna fish. It's the same tuna fish packed in a regular plant that packs under the OU."
That's the problem.
It's the same fish that they bought.
Ongoing problem.
And he's putting it in his can because he comes in on a Sunday when the plant is closed and packs his tuna with his label because he's using the Tola oil, which has a better hashgacha, but of course, it would have no hashgacha if the OU didn't put an OU on the Tola.
Okay, I want to talk about a very important shaila. I have a few minutes. This is a very important shaila. Here's a shaila. You have a schlachtois. They have a lot. Now, every animal can cost $2,000, whatever the situation is. And they do the shechita, and then as the production goes through, they come to realize there's a shaila. There's a very difficult shaila. They go, they bring down their heavyweight paiskim. Okay, everything is done kedas uchadin, and they bring down the big, big paiskim, and they say, that in Shulchan Aruch it says, after everything is said and done, that b'shas hatchak, b'mokoyim sheyesh, hefsid meruba.
What's meruba?
Let's say whatever meruba means, it qualifies. They're going to take a loss. This company is going to take a loss. They're going to take a significant loss today. It's mutter. Okay, and whatever hefsid meruba means, good question. I don't know what it means. Whatever it means in this case, it's called a hefsid meruba. It's mutter. For the company, for the slaughterhouse, this is a hefsid meruba. So, very good. But for me, they want to send out a whole shipment to the stores because it's a mutter. It's a hefsid meruba in this situation. But they find a problem. They find there's a halachic issue in the animal. The animal may really have been treif. They find a situation where, according to halacha, it may very well be that this is a nevela. It's a nevela. And eating this meat is a loisase. And all of your kalim are treif. Then you're going to cook this meat in. You're going to use this meat and you're going to cook it in the pots. It may be treif. Big shiloh, what to do? You call in the big poiskim, they all deliberate, and they all come together, they issue a psak. It says in Shulchan Aruch, it's not the ideal thing, you should really throw it in the garbage. But this slaughterhouse, they're going to lose a lot of money, it's going to affect the morale, it's going to affect the workers. B'makom sheyesh hefsid meruba, you can be lenient, it's kosher, it's not nevela, and the kalim you're going to use to eat this are not going to become treif.
Let me say.
So what happens? So, very good, they send it out. They send it out to the stores, to Glatmart, to Moshe's, to Pomegranate, everyone, Gourmet Glatt, everyone stocking this food over here. Now, for me, the consumer, is it a hefsid meruba if I don't buy it? If I now find out, that it's only kosher because of b'shas hatach mishum hefsid meruba, yeah, it's a hefsid meruba for the company, but it's not hefsid meruba, so I won't eat it. I'll buy another brand, or I won't eat it altogether. It's not a hefsid meruba for the customer. So this is a major shaila, maisim b'chol yoin.
But if nobody buys it, then that's a
trickle down effect, a trickle up effect. Okay, what are you saying?
No, but that wouldn't be by glot. That would be by something that's regular.
Why not glot?
Because by glass, either it's...
Anything. Whatever the area is.
No. Because you're going down the slope, you don't know what you're saying.
No, but what I'm saying is...
Say, finish that sentence. Either it's glass or what?
Either it's glass or it's... No, it's not glass, it's regular kosher.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, think again. Goodbye.
Whatever.
Forget it.
Whatever the situation is, you have to come up with the scenarios that I'm sure, I have no doubt.
New category.
Okay, there are many scenarios. You can all use your imagination to come up with different scenarios. It's a hefsek. It's the, exactly, you're not going to tell them. You're not going to tell them. Right? My aunt always tells me to watch the show. Who's that famous French cook? That lady on the television? Julius. Julia Child. So she always tells you to watch, once watching on television. She was baking something on television and it fell on the floor. So she made a joke. She said, who would know? Pick it up, put it back into the oven. Who would know it fell on the filthy, dirty? Who would know, right? So, you know, unfortunately, that's what goes on all the time. Who would know?
Not always. I was at the wedding where the waiter dropped the tray. The caterer came out.
It's public.
Chairs around the food, told the waiters, don't touch the food, let it be there so everybody knows the food they got didn't come off the floor. And he made sure.
Okay, let's finish it up. Okay. Whatever the situation is, this happens. Let me finish up. We're running out of time. Very quickly. Let me just finish up the shot.
60, 70 years ago, there were two major slaughterhouses, Swift and Arnold.
Yeah.
Both were located at Plaza on the west side. Each one of those had a kosher division across the street, totally different, even a different name. Like, I think it was Swift or Arnold had their kosher division, was called New York Butchers. So 60, 70 years ago, before they invented glatt, if they slaughtered kosher in the kosher division, any problem, it went right across the street. So there was no concept 70 years ago of the hefsek maruba.
I don't understand. What do you mean?
That is a
what do you mean hefsek? For the company, it's a hefsek maruba.
No.
You don't know what you're saying. It's still a hefsek maruba.
The company.
20, tops 20 cents on the dollar. So it's a hefsek maruba at any point.
No, but the kosher division was part of Swift.
But they're not getting the same amount of money back for the animal.
They had to lose money because
you have to lose any time the animal is straight. I had to pull up and try to sell it.
Same thing like Empire sells.
Okay, I'm going to sell it only 2 minutes. I'm going to just try to finish this off. It's very important to say. This is very important. So this is my symbol. Hold yoim. A company, whether all in the kashrus industry, there are situations where questions come about, even in a catering halls by a wedding. All of a sudden, they discover they're having a dinner for 1,000 people, and the soup is treif. I remember they told us at the Hilton, they discovered that the soup was the serving in the Hilton to all the rabbanim gedolei hadar coming here to this dinner, this chashuv dinner, and they discover now a major question regarding the soup. It's mamish a shayla. It's mamish treif. So they call emergency, Rebelsky, and all the big rabbanim. They're calling. Is it? And the maskana is, it's b'shas hatchak, b'mokim hefsid meruba, it's kosher. If it's not b'shas hatchak, shaloi b'hefsid meruba, it's osur. So, for the caterer, the bezioinois, not to serve the soup, is noir of the oyim. This will go out all over the web. It's a hefsid meruba for the caterer. They're going to lose business because of this. People are going to find about the story. Come on, we have running out of time. But for the guest, I won't have the soup. Who cares? I don't have the soup. So what is the halacha? Whose hefsek meruba are we concerned about? In Shulchan Aruch, they were not so sophisticated with companies and with dinners, 1,000 people. Everything is a private person, Shulchan Aruch. I'm the one who's making the soup. Is it for me to have some meruba? Is it not have some meruba? V'zehu. Simple. But today we live in a world where for you, who's selling it to me, it's a have some meruba. But for the private person, the consumer, it's not a have some meruba. I won't eat it. I'll buy something else. What is the halacha? some achleikis, but don't get carried away yet. Hold your horses. That's some achleikis, the Chassam Sofer, and Rabbi Akiva Eger. Rabbi Akiva Eger says it's mutter. If it's a hefsid meruba for the moicher, for the slaughterhouse, for the company, that's it. The halacha is it's mutter lichatchila for the consumer, for the private person. Unbelievable. Rabbi Chassam Sofer disagrees. Hayaluchud v'hayaluchud. It's your problem, but not my problem. Okay, along comes the Tzel HaChochma. And he says the emes is there's no machloikis to Chassam Sofer and Rabbi Akiva Eger. It depends on what is the problem. Basically, what he says is, he gives examples. If you're dealing with meat, a slaughterhouse, and the issue is a sircha, there's some adhesion in the lobes of the lung, or there is an issue of a hole in a part of the animal, this is beyond your control. This is the way the world is. It's beyond your control how that an animal has a sircha. Statistics. There's no fault whatsoever to the kashrus agency, to the people involved in this industry, and why we have a problem in this unique case. We don't want there to be a problem. Had we known there's a problem, we would have not gotten into the situation. But it came upon us, and it's beyond our control. In that situation, everyone agrees. Even the Chassam Sofer agrees. It's mutter lechatchila. If it's a hefsed meruba for the company, it's mutter for the company to sell to the consumer because there's nothing that the company could possibly have done to avoid this situation.
They were negligent in it, not checking out the animals.
No, that's exactly what you're saying. With the situation, they were not negligent. The type of situation where it's not their fault. This is how it came about. It's a natural occurrence in this world. But if you're dealing with, it gives an example, let's say, Yayin Nesech, you have very expensive wine. And there's a shaila now. Did the guy touch it? Did he not touch it? A suffix, binagea sugi of yayin, whatever the halachas are. It's a big shaila. You call the bigger the wine. It's a very expensive old wine. And you bring now down the biggest experts to paskin the halacha, and they tell you shtein shulchan aruch when everything is said and done. But makom hefsid meruba, it's mutter. Excuse me, who's negligent over here? The company is negligent. The hechsher, the what are you letting go? I'm walking around over here. Could this have been prevented? It sure could have been prevented. It should have been prevented. You messed up. You now brought yourself into a situation where you now have a hefsed meruba and you want to pass it on to the customer. What a chutzpah. You have no right to do that. So there, everyone agrees to the Chassam Sofer that it's aser. And appears this is what's practical halacha. When you have a situation of a hefsed meruba, there's really no one to blame. It's a natural occurrence. There's no one to blame. And you have to make that determination. Then, Rabbi Akiva Eger, we follow Rabbi Akiva Eger, it's mutter, halacha tells you it's mutter, that's the halacha, it's mutter for everyone. But if you have who to blame, you have no one to blame but yourself, you're negligent and you brought yourself into this situation, so now you got a problem. So for you, it's mutter, but you have no right to pass it down to the consumer. Very beautiful pshara between Eger and Chassam Sofer. Rav Moshe, though, puts a nail in this whole thing and he writes one very important thing. When it comes to basar, there's an old joke, they used to have the neon signs, basar kosher, and it blinks. So the Rabbanim used to joke, it's blinking. Sometimes it's kosher. Sometimes it's not kosher. Basar kosher. So when it's basar kosher, then you follow the rules. All right, Rabbi Eger, it's not your fault. Animals come with sirchas. It's a natural event. It's mutter. But if you write on the package, today we live in a very from world, which makes it, you write on the package, kosher limahadrin. If you write a nusach, you advertise on your product, this is not just stam kosher. It's kosher limahadrin. Kosher, it's mehudah. Oh, that's false advertising. And then even if it's a natural occurrence, it's not your fault. And indeed, for the factory, it's a hefsed meruba and it's taka mutter, but you have to tell the customer. And the customer obviously is not going to want it. And then we have to at least change the label, whatever. Don't have false advertising. then you're not allowed to pass it down to the consumer. So today you should know that all of these kashrus agencies, by and large, I mean, to a certain degree, you have to really, it's a very tough question. They do give themselves the image, oh, we're better than our competitor. Right? I'm not going to go give you names. Why did they take us and not our competitor? Because we're kosher l'mahadrin. So if you're going into a store and they have, oh, a special hechsher, there's an expectation. Well, now we're relying upon Hefsa Meruba here. So you want to go back in the olden days, where cash was, you know, it's kosher. Don't ask, don't tell. There was a certain attitude, prevalent attitude, go back 50 years ago. Kosher is kosher. You have to go meet sugar. It's kosher. You know, what do you have? Then, in a chanami, you learn Ricky Vegas. So have some for the company, has some with you. But we're living in a world today where everyone is trying to outdo the next. So it's not so simple today. You can even be samech on Rabbi Kiva Eger and say that the company who has a hefsid meruba can pass it down without telling the customer that it's kosher l'mahadre. Okay, that's for today. Have a wonderful day.